here, sharing the privilege of hearing the word of God from Scripture. Yes.
The first reading is from Romans 8, verses 2 to 17. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The gospel reading is from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray.
Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises.
Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, or as one of my lecturers at college called it, Heresy Sunday. He told us the Sunday after Pentecost is the most. He's an Anglican, so if you say something wrong, you get in deep trouble, and it was his job to deliver it. He said the Sunday after Pentecost is a great Sunday to take a sickie, schedule your holidays, or even better, organise a conference and invite all your friends along. But it should not be hard for us. It is, we gather. As David Rankin told us, every Sunday should be Trinity Sunday. We worship God who is known through history and has been shown through history in different ways and encountered in different ways, but always points to each other. We assert somehow that mathematical impossibility that 3 is 1 and 1 is 3. As we wrestle with a God who speaks of God's self as Father, Son, and Spirit. We assert that as we gather here in Cleveland on a chilly winter's morning in 2024, and yes, I heat up when I preach, so I do this. We worship the same God that the Israelites encountered in fiery pillar and smoke and earthquakes on the mountain. We encounter the same God who came to earth and lived and died and rose again for us. We come and gather with this Christ who speaks of, I am one with my Father and my Father is one with me. Who at his baptism heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my only Son with whom I am well pleased. And who said, I must go so that you may be sent the Counselor, may be sent the Advocate, may be sent the one who, the Ambassador, the one who lives between, and whose coming we celebrated so spectacularly last Sunday. The Holy Spirit. And here we have the reading on who the Holy Spirit is within this scheme of how the Holy Spirit relates within the Trinity. It is through the Holy Spirit that we are made new people. It is the Holy Spirit that engages our hearts and opens us to the absolutely ridiculous proposition that the God of the universe loves us so much that God was willing to die for us. Absolutely beyond anything we could dare write or imagine. the one who says to us that even then when we feel so lonely and alone or unworthy, or there's an awful lot of unwellness around at the moment, isn't there? The one when we feel weighed down by life, by consequences of our own making or things that just are happening, says, you are a child of God. God loves you. The one who calls us into awakening that reminds us that the people we are looking at, the people we encounter in this world, are not merely people who get between us and the head of the queue, whatever we're trying to do, but are also beloved children of God, and calls us to live a life that shows them that they are loved and gives them the opportunity to have that Spirit speak into their lives, and all pointing back to God the Creator, the one who provides. You see what's happening around the whole life of the Trinity? Who hogs the glory? No one. Each part, each member, each person of the Trinity points to and exists in and contributes to the work of the other. So much so that when we talk about the Trinity, it's really hard to separate the members of the Trinity for each other. And that's the whole point. That's the whole mystery. In some ways, it would be easier, wouldn't it, if we had a temple with the shining, deadly presence of the Holy God in it. We could come and we'd need to prepare. When they talk about people going to the place where Isaiah saw in the vision, the priest who went in there once a year, they're only willing to risk it once a year to have one person from the holiest family who spent the whole year getting ready spiritually to encounter the place where God lives. They sent him in with a rope around his leg so that if he wasn't good enough, you could drag him back out again. We don't, thankfully, have to send me up here with a rope around my leg, or you would be down a preacher probably the very first day I was here. But we are, through the work of Jesus Christ, we've been shown that God enters into the messiness. Not just shown, we witness to the fact that God enters the messiness of the world. That same God who lives enthroned in glory and splendor touched a leper, allowed a sinful person to anoint his body, called out and showed to those the world rejects. And again, it was easy to know when you're encountering God there, wasn't it? There's Jesus. But we now live in this age, which in our documents is defined as that age between Jesus' ascension and return, where the church lives as a community gathered by the Holy Spirit, calling to point towards God. Do we always get it right? Do we always live as that community that Paul spoke of, who set aside the thing, set aside the things of this world and focus entirely on. Do our lives, next slide please, Jim. Do our lives live in the self-deception? And for those who can't see, I have the kitten looking in the mirror, and what's looking back out at him is a lion. Do we have in us that spirit of self-delusion or the spirit of holiness? There's a very good reason why we have the scriptures read. You okay? Yep. There's a very good reason why we have the scriptures read as part of our worship. It's because it reminds us that we are grounded in that God. It corrects us. It challenges us. We've got to handle them with a degree of care because they're written for such a different context as ours. But we're called to allow God to challenge us, to awaken us, to call us back and call us home. Sometimes with a lion that looks in the mirror and sees a kitten. Paul writes about that, doesn't he? He writes and says, it is the Holy Spirit. We know it's the Holy Spirit who is speaking when the Holy Spirit says, you are God's child. The Holy Spirit speaks in us when the Holy Spirit calls us to point to God as well. We're a community on a journey. We're a community of people who are different. We're a community of people who get it right and get it wrong. In other words, we're a community of disciples. Because when you look at those disciples in the scripture, they don't always get it right, do they? Actually, I think sometimes they get it wrong more than they get it right, but I think they're a bit like us. It's a lot easier to treasure the ones where you get it wrong, isn't it? But as we journey together, as we seek to live out our lives and speak to each other of our encounters with God, even if we only get it right a little bit more than we get it wrong, as a community, we're going in the right way. So I pray that we have that humility. Seek the transforming power of God. To encounter God through Scripture, through the Spirit living in our lives, through the words of encouragement and hope and life, and yes, challenge from those around us, and that we can grow to be people who are more like Jesus, and that we'll be a community of hope and light for all those around us in a world that so sadly needs hope, love, peace and joy. Not through our power, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's